All right, if you want to get your Bibles out today, we'll be in Luke chapter 2 to start us out. Of course, the notes have the scripture and the screen will as well. But I want to encourage you to continue to use your Bibles, because if you don't, you will get rusty. Amen? So these are for your convenience and for folks who might have forgotten their scriptures today, not for those of you that have them. All right, so Luke chapter 2, we're going to continue our series on Christmas. Now, this is going to be the Christmas story, Sermon 3, Worship Like the Shepherds. Worship Like the Shepherds. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk today about worship. Worship as the central idea and activity of Christmas. In contrast to the central idea and activities of Christmas the way that they are now. Because if we'd be honest with ourselves, the central activity and idea in Christmas today probably revolves more around one of at least three things: family, food, and presents. I mean, let's just be honest. Most of the time, in our minds and our hearts, that's what we're thinking, and that's the type of activity that we're involved in when it comes to Christmas. And I'm not saying that the sermon today is supposed to make you step away from those things, but the sermon today should help you understand them differently and approach them differently and do them differently and think about them differently. Your attitude towards all of those things should change today if it's not already where it needs to be. We're going to talk about worship as the thing we should be focused on this Christmas. I'm going to share a story with you this morning. If you can bring the picture up I've got there, Caitlin. This thing says, "Keep calm. It's only Christmas," right? Now, how many of you, by a show of hands, you get a little pressed, a little stressed around Christmas time? Just raise your hand. And just, yeah, it's honest. That's good. People have made Christmas about everything but worshiping Jesus, so much so that it's not even relaxing anymore. It's not even fun anymore. There's no joy in it anymore, because we've made it about all of these things that stress us out, or that make us angry, or that make us uncomfortable, or that put our schedules so tight that we've got this anxiety that we're not going to get it all done. We have made Christmas about things that make Christmas bad. It's not that all of those things are bad. It's that the way we approach them is bad. Our spirit's not right as we approach it. We don't have a worshipful spirit as we approach Christmas. And I want to tell you, my wife and I went Friday night. She's like, "Oh no, you're not going to tell this, are you?" I am. Because I'm a human being full of flaws, and I'm going to share with you one of them right now. We went Friday night to do a little Christmas shopping, to pick up some groceries, you know, in preparation for our Christmas meal. You know, my mother-in-law came over to the house and, you know, sat with the kids. So it was kind of, you know, wife and I's kind of afternoon out. That's what dating becomes, teenagers, when you're married with kids, is grocery shopping when someone watches the kids. That's a date. So we went on our date, and we were going to finish up our Christmas shopping, and we were going to buy some groceries and buy food for Christmas. And I thought, man, this should be a great night, right, Jennifer? We should have a good time. We should be relaxed. We're buying stuff for people. We're getting ready for Christmas. Hooray. We get to going, and it started out pretty good, wouldn't you agree? And then we hit this monsoon, thunderstorm, rainstorm, and fog, and I've never seen visibility this bad. So immediately, going to get these presents, I'm stressed out, right? I mean, there's like, and April's like, "We can just go back, honey." I'm thinking, when are we going to go if we don't go now, right? So we got to get through this. So I keep pressing through this storm and this fog, and I'm trying not to look tense, you know, because I want my wife to feel she's safe in the car with me. But it was pretty scary and pretty rough at times. So we finally get up to Benton, and we made it through this monsoon fogginess and all of this without any problems. But I had already kind of keyed myself up a little bit. You know, the stress was kind of building. And I had this bright idea that since we were having a date, maybe we'll go see a movie. You know, like, hey, let's squeeze a movie in and we can shop. So we're trying to, like, you know, hit it, right, Jennifer? We're trying to, you know, shop and get this stuff done so we can get back to see the movie. So we get back to the parking lot to see the movie, and April's like, I don't really know if we have time for this. I just deflated my whole, I mean, everything that I was there to was now the movie. And I was so sad. I was like, I just wanted to watch a movie, and now we got to go Christmas shopping. We went to go Christmas shopping, right? We went to buy gifts for other people and should have been doing that and happy. But I was being a little selfish, right? I was being selfish. And I wanted to see this movie and it didn't happen. So that deflated my attitude. And my attitude from then on was very, very crummy. So then we walk in the store and I'm walking around like, you know, like a little 2-year-old kicking and like drumming stuff on the, you know, aisles. And April's like, hey, come shopping. I'm like, I'd rather you beat me in the face with a frying pan, you know. Just, I mean, really just negative and horrible. And, you know, she's trying to Christmas shop and we're trying to have this great experience. And I'm ruining it because of my bad attitude and the stress I had coming up and the disappointment because I was being selfish that I didn't get to see that movie. And then, those of you that maybe are a little overweight like me or you have a back problem like me, after you walk around for, I don't know, 30 minutes, starts to hurt a little bit. So then, you know, I'm selfishly disappointed that we didn't see the movie. I was a little stressed over the drive, and now, Tim, my back starts to hurt too. So now I'm walking around, you know, oh, I hate it. Let's go. Are you done? Just throw something in the bag. And she went.
No, your back burger just stabbed me in my eye. <laughs> And then
my wife goes to look for mechanical pencils for my daughter, and there's like a billion mechanical pencils. And I'm just thinking, just throw one in the bag, you know, just put it in the buggy and let's go. There's so many. How can you be shopping? Just get one. I mean, I was tight at that point. I mean, I was ready to explode. And then my wife says, you're about to make me cry. And then she just walks away, you know, and I go, oh, man. We're supposed to be having fun. The kids aren't here. We were supposed to be Christmas shopping and buying these gifts for people. And we were supposed to be buying the food for our Christmas meal. And this should be joyous. This should be fun. And I'm ruining everything because I had this bad attitude. And I wasn't in tune with the true meaning of Christmas at all. I should be worshiping Jesus Christ. And everything that I do, and everything that I think, and everything that I say should be an extension of that worship. So I should be more loving, and more patient, and more forgiving, and more ready to give, and to spend, and to enjoy all of the things that we get to do for other people. I should be enjoying that time. But instead, because I'm all wrapped up in me, I'm having a bad time and I'm ruining it for my wife and more than likely ruining it for a few other people at Walmart. Because I'm loud when I get that way. I have no problem with it. So I say that to say this. As we lead into Christmas and we study our scripture today, I want us to focus on worshiping Jesus Christ as the center of all that we do. In all that we say, and all that we are during Christmas. In fact, I want you to imagine Christmas as a time to simply worship Jesus. Don't think of it as a time to give presents, or share a meal with your family, or do any of that. Think of it simply as a time to worship Jesus. Because if you see it that way, if you say Christmas is about worshiping Christ, and really that is fundamentally all that it's about, and all that it should be about, then everything else that I do is going to overflow from that worship. Does that make sense? Then when I give a gift, it's because I'm worshiping Jesus and I understand the connections to Scripture and I understand the commands to give to others and I understand the joy of that. You know, all of the things that we do at Christmas, when I'm singing songs in church, they're not just religious activities. They become actual worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. When I'm giving to others because they're less fortunate during Christmas, I'm not thinking of how tight my pocketbook is, right? I'm thinking, this is going to make somebody's day. This is going to bless somebody. This is worship. I want you to think of Christmas as a time of worship. Because if you do, if you're one of those folks who get lonely at Christmas, and you say, hey, you say Christmas is supposed to be great, but I get lonely at Christmas, it's not fun for me. It is if you worship Jesus. And you don't imagine that Christmas is just about being with your family. Because if Christmas becomes about worshiping Jesus, you can worship Jesus no matter what. See? And you can say, hey, Christmas is no good. Not like you say it is, because in my family, hey, it's just not the way it used to be. We used to have these great Christmases and, you know, I had these fond memories and now it's just not the same. Well, maybe not. Maybe it never will be. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus Christ. Worship Jesus this Christmas. It transforms everything. It doesn't make everything better. Doesn't make everything perfect. What it does is it shifts your focus away from the problems that you're having, from the issues you're dealing with in your life, from the materialism that you're caught up in, to the anxiety and the stress that builds up during Christmas. And you say, you know what? I just need to relax and worship the Lord. Whatever else happens, happens. I can deal with it. But we're going to worship Jesus this Christmas. Now, I think so many families have gotten so far away from worshiping Jesus that that's the last thing on your mind at Christmas. The very last thing. And if that's the case today, I hope you will change your attitude. Because, folks, it does start with attitude. You can sing the same song that the person right next to you singing, and they're worshiping, and you're not worshiping. Amen? You can say the same amount of prayers as the person sitting right next to you, and they're worshiping, and you're not worshiping. You can give all the presents just like everybody else, and they're worshiping, and you're not worshiping. You can give to the needy, give to the poor, share all this stuff with all these people, just like everybody else, and they're worshiping, and you're not, because your attitude is bad. Your attitude and your mind are not right. They're not where they need to be. And you say, Pastor, how can that be? And I know I've preached 10 minutes. I haven't even read a scripture. You say, Pastor, how can that be? We're Christians. Well, you tell me. How is it that Christians can make Christmas about something other than worshiping Christ? How is it that Christian people can make Christmas about something other than worshiping Jesus? That's all it's supposed to be about. You should never feel stressed out at Christmas. You should never feel anxiety at Christmas. We should. Let me say that because I shared my story. So you know I'm guilty. We should focus on worshiping Jesus. Let's worship like the shepherds. Let's take a look at our scripture this morning. Luke chapter 2. Now it's kind of small on the screen, so if you've got your Bible, I encourage you to read in your Bible. Luke chapter 2, we'll start with verse 8. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you what? Good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" Right? That ought to tell you something right there, church, because what those angels told to those shepherds is what we ought to be hearing from them today. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, great joy, and it is for everybody. So Christmas is about good news. It's about great joy, and it's for you. It's for you to hear that good news and enjoy it. It's for you to have joy at that time. So let's continue to read. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.'" What are those angels doing? They're worshiping. They're praising God. This is exciting. This is big. God is being born in the flesh. He's a baby in a manger. It's your Savior. It's the Messiah. This is the day. Praise God. Right? The angels are singing. Praise God that Jesus is here. That's the excitement. I haven't even got to the shepherds yet. That's the excitement around this moment. Now here's the next one. You notice I've got these underlined, I believe, in your notes as well. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they what? Hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now when you read that, you may overlook the fact that they hurried. But I want you to notice it. I want you to pinpoint it. I want you to get that word in your mind right now. Because the angels are praising God. And they're saying, today is good news and it's great joy because the Savior is born. Jesus, the Messiah, is born. Be happy. Be full of joy. And the shepherds were so excited. They wanted to be in the presence of Jesus so much. They wanted to be where He was. That they hurried off from their job and ran to be with the Lord. Folks, that is the type of attitude that we need to have at Christmas. Where we're ready to hurry into the presence of God. To hurry into the presence of Jesus. To be with Him. To commune with Him. To spend time with Him. To worship Him. To praise Him. To give homage to Him. To talk to Him. To have a conversation. To allow Him to be a part of everything that we do. Those shepherds couldn't wait because they said, Jesus is over there and we're here. Why is that? Why aren't we where Jesus is? I want to be with Him. And it says they hurried to meet with Him. What would it look like this Christmas if every family here hurried to meet with Jesus for Christmas? We hurried to worship Him. We hurried to praise Him. We hurried to be with Him and just bask in the glory and the radiance of Almighty God instead of basking in the glow of the Walmart sign. I mean, consider it. Now let's take a look. Let's read on. It says, when they had seen Him, they what? Spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And we'll get back to that in just a minute. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now pay attention to verse 20. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They were praising God for the things they had heard and the things that they had seen. Now, folks, if you know Christ as your Savior today, you have met face to face with Almighty God. And you have confessed your sins and you have bowed down to Him, and then He has reached down and lifted you up. He has forgiven you. He has redeemed you. He has saved you. He has become your friend, your king, your comforter, your mediator between God and man. If you really have experienced Jesus, you've seen something. Now, if you haven't, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you have not experienced Jesus, if you have not been saved, you have no clue what I'm talking about, and you're bored out of your mind right now. You're going, that guy's nuts, he's long-winded, the sermon's already 20 minutes in, he ain't even close to done. You don't get it. If you have met Jesus, then you have seen something. You have seen something exciting, something extraordinary. You have experienced something that not everyone has experienced. Something that absolutely has changed your life. And when that happens, you can't help but worship. You can't help but praise. You can't help but be excited and return to His presence. Hello? You can't wait to be back with Him when you strayed. Or when you got off track. And I think sometimes at Christmas, we can really hone in to this concept that we do veer off track and we do get out of bounds. Because if you're here today and you can honestly say that Christmas really is about worshiping Jesus in my house, Pastor, I don't even need this sermon, praise God for you. But if you're like almost every other Christian that I've ever met, including myself, there are times where you allow the world to creep in. You do. And you allow Christmas to become something it shouldn't be. Now, we talked about the origins of Christmas. Hello? We talked about how the world can hijack it. We talked about how the church tried to say, we're going to hijack something the world's doing and make it good. Well, folks, that is what we need to do this Christmas, is we need to say, if we are going to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're going to really celebrate that. If we're going to claim as Christians to celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th, we're going to praise Him. We're going to worship Him. We're going to bow down to Him. We're going to be in His presence this Christmas, and we're not going to take any other sorry excuse for a Christmas anymore. We're never going to take anything less than the full presence of Almighty God in our home and in our heart. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. That's what the shepherds wanted. It says they returned, and they were so excited about what they had seen and what they had heard. How many of us this Christmas are excited about what we've seen and heard about Jesus? I'm not talking about life, because life is bad sometimes. Amen? Everybody in this place, I can point you out, because I have prayed with you, I've been to hospitals with you, I know what you folks have dealt with, and you know what I've dealt with. We understand that life is not always good. It's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's terrible. It's the worst. But Jesus never is. Jesus is always good. He is always faithful. He is always present. He is always ready to hold us up and walk with us and bless us. And folks, no matter what you've been through, this world is passing away. It wasn't meant to stay this way. And a good thing. Because I don't want to live in a world like this for eternity. Hello? Would you? I don't want to. I want the good stuff. And that's what we look forward to as Christians. And that's why we praise Him today. Because we have seen and we have heard Jesus. And He is special. And He is something to celebrate about. And that's what I want to see in the way the shepherds responded. But I think we can go deeper today. And you'll notice in your notes, I've got four ways that we can worship Jesus this Christmas. Four ways that we can worship Jesus this Christmas. And this is reminiscent of what the shepherds did, but more their attitude than exactly what they did. Are you ready for this? Because if you get your attitude right, and you understand why you're worshiping, and you understand the joy that can be had in Christ, then all of these things are going to make perfect sense to you. Four scriptural ways that you can worship Jesus this Christmas. Are you ready, church? All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Personal sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, I use the NIV instead of the King James because I like the way that reads personally. Okay? So if you got King James, that's okay. That's NIV. It says this is your true and proper worship. For those of you who may not know this, in the temple when they would worship the Lord, they believed that burning incense and even burning the offerings that they sacrificed, they believed the scent of the incense or the scent of the burnt offering would do what, church? It would go up to heaven, right? So the sweet smell of the sacrifice that we've given, it goes up to God. The sweet smell of the incense that we're burning to worship God, that sweet smell goes up to the Lord, and it's pleasing to Him when we make those sacrifices. Well, what Paul's doing is he's saying, forget the incense, forget the goats and the bulls and the lambs, right? Christ has already taken care of that. What God wants from us is not for us to burn incense, not for us to burn animals on an altar. What He wants is for us to be the sacrifice. So one great way that you can worship God this Christmas is to simply offer Him yourself. And man, that means so much. I could preach a sermon series on that, but I'm going to try to condense it. What that means is He wants all of who you are. He wants your thoughts. He wants your words. He wants your actions. Maybe there's somebody here, you've been struggling with a habit. And it's a bad habit. It's something you know that doesn't glorify God. Well, maybe this Christmas, a good way for you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice is to say, God, I'm breaking this habit. I'm breaking it. I'm doing this for you. It's my sacrifice. Maybe there's somebody here today that's been called into ministry, but you've been avoiding it because you don't think you have the time, or you don't feel like you're smart enough, or whatever the excuse may be. You say, God, if you really want me to do this, I'm going to offer myself to you as a living sacrifice. Maybe God's been asking you to sacrificially give financially. Now, you know I'm not one of those televangelist guys. Can I get an amen? I don't ask anybody for money. I never stand up here and preach about give us money. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will come on you and say, you need to give some money to that person or that family or that ministry. Not because the pastor asked, not because anybody's begging, but because you know I want you to. Right, church? So maybe he's been asking you to sacrificially give, you know, give up a steak every week if you eat a steak every week, and give a little extra to something that God wants you to. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Maybe you got a foul mouth. I know some people. They still cuss. Now, you could cut my finger off. When I was 18, I'd have F-bombed you right out of the room. Can I get an amen? Be in agreement. You cut my finger off today, and I'll go, doggone it. I need some stitches. I may scream. Billy, I may cry. I may curl up in the floor. But I won't cuss. And the reason I don't is because the Scripture teaches us that we're not supposed to use coarse language. It's a teaching in Scripture. So you define for yourself what coarse is, but if you wouldn't say it in front of my 2-year-old boy, you probably shouldn't say it. So maybe you still got a problem with that coarse language, and you're saying, this Christmas, I'm going to offer myself as a living sacrifice, so I'm going to stop doing that. Now, folks, I could keep going. I could give you hundreds of these. But what I want you to understand is when you offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice, you say, God, I want the person that I am to become a fragrant offering to you. I want you to see the way that I'm living and hear the things that I'm saying, witness my testimony in front of other people, and I want you to love what you're seeing. I want you to love it. I want you to be happy about who I am and who I'm becoming in Christ. That's a way you could worship Jesus this Christmas. Man, that'd be an awesome gift to give God, wouldn't it? Instead of that empty box with the wrapping paper on it that says, Happy Birthday, Jesus. How many have done that? Raise your hand. Liars. You know some of you have done that. But it doesn't matter. He wants you. He doesn't want a present under the tree. Amen? Amen. The second one. Let's take a look at this one. Giving. It says in Philippians 4:18, Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. A what? Sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. This is Paul saying to the church, you have given some things to me that I needed in a time where I really did need something. And that was an act of worship. That was an act of worship. In fact, he uses temple-like language when he says, a sweet-smelling aroma, right? A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Maybe this Christmas you know there's a family in your neighborhood or your town that they need something. It could be financial, but it may not be. You know, it might be that you know somebody they can't rake their leaves, and you can rake leaves, so you go rake their yard for them. It could be that you know somebody that needs some junk hauled off to the dump. This is not a glamorous sermon, is it, Tim? It's not very glamorous, but that's okay. You know somebody that needs something, and you can give them something. Well, if they really need it, and you give it with the right heart, that is an act of worship. It's a sweet-smelling aroma. It's a sacrifice given to God. Amen? So, church, this Christmas, you can give to others, and that becomes a spiritual act of worship. Let's take a look at number 3. Number 3 is serving others. But do not forget to do what? good and to... For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Once again, you see this idea of us worshiping by what we are doing. We're doing good things and we're sharing with others, and that's considered worship. It's considered an act of worship. Now, serving somebody is not necessarily the same as giving something, right? Because if I see someone who needs money or food, I give them money or food. But sometimes serving someone has nothing to do with that. It has to do with doing something for that person, right? So maybe you know somebody that needs a visit. So you go and you give them a visit. I know I've been to Miss Peggy's house before, and she said, Pastor Shane, I got a favor to ask you. I say, anything, Miss Peggy, whatever you need. She says, I got this flower outside that I need you to go water. Right, Miss Peggy? I'm happy to serve. It's simple. It's no big deal. It's nothing to write home about. But it's serving her, even in a small way. It's something she needed done, so I was able to do that. And many of you have done many things like that for many other people. But this year, around Christmas, if you really want to worship Jesus, find somebody else to serve. Someone who needs your help, maybe not your money, but a little bit of your time, a little bit of your muscle power, or even your brain power. And give it to them. Serve others. It says, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Church, serve somebody this Christmas. Here's the last one, and this is the one I wanted to come back to. Because I know you've all heard my evangelism sermon many times. You've all heard all the things that I've said about it. But I want to hit it from a different angle this Christmas. Now, Amy, if I walk up to somebody in the middle of June and I start talking about Jesus, that might be a little off-putting to some people. Like, hey man, you know, we were talking about barbecuing and now you're talking about Jesus. That's a weird transition. But at Christmas, we have a special opportunity to bring Jesus into the conversation that we don't have many other times during the year. Amen, church? And it's acceptable. People don't even think twice about it because it's Christmas. And even people who don't, you know, follow Jesus or go to church or read their Bible, at least where we live for sure, acknowledge that Christmas is about Jesus Christ. So it gives us an opportunity to talk some Jesus with people that we don't normally have as far as the awkwardness and the ease of doing it. So I talk to a lot of people about, you know, we need to evangelize, we need to share our testimony, and you say, that's hard, Pastor, because the people I'm talking to, it's just really awkward and I'm not sure about it. And at Christmas, maybe you got a shot. Maybe you got a way to get your foot in the door. So let's read about what the shepherds did after they met Jesus. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Two things are happening here, folks, and they're two really amazing things. The first thing that's happening is the shepherds are seeing this little baby. They had the angel say, this is the Savior, this is the Messiah, this is God in the flesh, right? They're praising Him, right? The angels are singing. The shepherds know this is the real deal. We got to go see Him. We got to be in His presence. So they go, and they're in the presence of Almighty God in this little baby form, right? And they're so excited about what they found. They were so excited about meeting with Jesus and being in His presence and seeing the Savior and seeing the Messiah that they had to go do this. Right? You get the impression of the Scripture that they spent a little time with the Lord and they said, we can't be the only ones that know about this. We've got to tell somebody. Man, we're lazy. We're pathetically lazy in the Christian church today. I'm not talking about Jehovah Witness style door-to-door knocking. I'm just saying, be real about who you are if you really are a Christian. Just be comfortable with public prayer. Be comfortable with talking about the Lord and what He's done in your life, especially at Christmas. Because that's what we're celebrating, right? This is the advent of God in the flesh. I'm excited about what the shepherds did. I want to have that kind of excitement in my Christmas. I don't know about you, but I want to be so excited about what we're celebrating that I want to talk to other people and I want to share it. And I want to say, you know, this is not just about presents and Christmas trees and cocoa and turkey and all that stuff's great, but that's not what it's all about. It's about Jesus. Whew, it's about God in the flesh, man, coming down to die for us on the cross. He changed my life, right? Let me tell you about it. I want to be that guy. But see, here's the beautiful part, and we overlook this because we see so many crabby people. You had some bad experiences, didn't you? Some bad experiences, let's be honest. And you gave up. But this is what happened when the shepherds did it. It says, and all who heard it were what? Amazed. They're like, what? The Savior's born? No way. You saw some angels? No way. That's crazy. That's the most amazing thing. You like my urban lingo. I'm sorry, it's bleeding in. But that's how people responded. It wouldn't be this kind of, oh, yes, that's really amazing, shepherds. We will contemplate this in our hearts as we lay down to sleep. It's not like that. You know, they were amazed, like, whoa! You guys were in the field, and some angels showed up and told you about the Savior, and they started singing and praising, and then you went, and it was really, the baby was there, just like they said. That's amazing. That's exciting. Wow. But you know, we have made that message so stale, nobody's amazed at it anymore. Like, yeah, I heard that last week. I saw some dude talking about it on TV, and I changed the channel to some NASCAR. I mean, let's be honest. That's what it's become. It's so mundane and so blah, meh, that nobody wants to hear it anymore. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the Christians don't seem like they care either. You know, we're almost like, hey, you know, we understand it, but we're not really that excited about Jesus either. And then when you try to approach them, they feel like, well, you're just doing what the pastor told you to, going through some stupid, you know, evangelistic program, and you learn these steps, and take that junk home. I don't want to hear it. You really get excited like the shepherds did, maybe people will be amazed again. Maybe they're like, whoa, he really changed your life like that? It really happened? You were really like this, and then now you're like this? That's amazing! Maybe if we were amazed at it, they would be too. Hello? Hello? You want to worship Jesus this Christmas? Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about the experience you've had with Him.